Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I know you all tuned in. Everyone, when you got on the dial on ESPN Radio today, or maybe you listened to it on the ESPN app or Sirius XM Channel 80, watch on ESPN Plus, Janae and Golic Jr. Here on all those spots, Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm sure when you all tuned in, you thought, you know what I wanted to hear about? A quad. And that's exactly what we're going to get to at some point, one of the most important quads in all of sports. We're also going to get to talk to Matt Barnes and Mina Kimes as we get ready for this show. But getting ready is going to be an interesting subplot to all of this, Janae, because we got pro days and all this stuff to talk about. But we're getting around right now as you're sitting ready, getting ready for training camp with the Los Angeles Sparks. And you gave us the warning going in. If you hear something in the background, it's just because I'm getting the body right with the Theragun.
Exactly. Speaking of quads, that's a perfect introduction to today. And if you're watching on ESPN Plus, I've got my Theragun, which is like this big tool that you use to sort of massage. A lot of people see it online. Your girl's in ready, full gear for training camp. And right now I'm in quarantine in Los Angeles. Everybody's supposed to quarantine before the season. And so we're about a week out. Y'all get ready. I'm so excited. I've been able to see my teammates over the weekend, and it just is a different sense of urgency. But yeah, like during Janae and Golic Jr. for 3 hours in our breaks, I'm going to be standing up and stretching. And hopefully, I mean, I'm going to turn it off now, but this is the sound you'll be hearing of me working on my quad.
Just this slow drum in the background. So we'll figure out how Janae's getting ready for the season. We'll figure out if a Theragun might be the thing that can help Kevin Durant out right now since he had to leave the game a little bit early this weekend for the Nets against the Miami Heat. But Janae, we also had more people getting ready. We had Trey Lance's second pro day today in the world of college football. The North Dakota State quarterback had his second pro day. And this was the one, Janae, kind of like Justin Fields' second pro day, put together by the 49ers largely. His quarterback coach, John Beck, same quarterback coach for Justin Fields, who, oddly enough, we haven't made that big a deal about. Kyle Shanahan is very close with and good friends with and can call up anytime he wants. And so he asked them to go out here, go through some throws that are unique to and germane to the 49ers offense. And Janae, where are you at on this? We saw this with Justin Fields last week where his second pro day came and went, and all of a sudden those Vegas odds moved and had him as the favorite for the third overall pick. Do you think anything about this Trey Lance pro day might be enough in the same circumstances to even the money out for him?
Probably not, but I do like the way things are trending, just because was it about 2 weeks ago maybe where we had an idea that maybe the top three picks were locked in between Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones potentially at three. But a lot of us had qualms when it comes to that third pick in San Francisco, because you make those comparisons to Jimmy Garoppolo and, you know, also why that synergy is more there with Mac Jones. So if you're trying to make a move all the way up to the third position in the draft, why not shoot your shot at something that could be wildly different with a lot of different potential upside? And I think that's where the athleticism factor comes in. And so the conversation being Trey Lance and even Justin Fields makes more sense for evaluating something that might be different for the 49ers. But Junior, as someone who has followed the college football season like better than most, what are your I'm actually glad that these conversations are being had.
I am very happy these conversations are being had. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because we're finally getting to the point where we feel like these really talented quarterbacks, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, are getting the consideration we deserve. I heard Tim Hasselbeck, our ESPN NFL analyst, earlier today on Greeny with Mike Greenberg, and he was asked point blank, would the 49ers really trade all that draft capital to go get Mac Jones? The exact question we've all been wondering during this time period, because we saw the way these rankings started. We know how we got here now. Here was Tim's answer earlier today when asked if the Niners really pull the trigger on this.
I don't believe so. And, you know, I think for me, one of the things I try to do is I watch these guys, and then I make my own opinion about it. I think early on when I, you know, kind of got out of playing and got into, you know, watching these quarterbacks and talking about them in preparation for the draft, is early on I would listen to what people said too much, and I would have it affect my opinion. I told you a story on Get Up, you know, a week ago where somebody at the Giants, who I, you know, consider to be a close friend, you know, lied to me about how they felt about Daniel Jones. Now, I never was on TV talking about, you know, Daniel Jones based on what they'd said to me, But it just was like confirmation to me that, like, you can't trust what other people say.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And, Janae, I agree with Tim. I think based on the resources we saw put into this pick, I don't know how you could justify not taking a bigger upside play, especially with, as people have pointed out time and time again now, when Jimmy Garoppolo has been healthy, you've won a fair amount of the games he's been in uniform with. The problem's been when he's been banged up, which is a conversation we can have about Jimmy Garoppolo and his availability going forward, what that can mean for this 49ers team. I think ultimately, Chiney, if I still had this spot and I still had my say in this, I would go with where the money resides on this and say Justin Fields should be the favorite because he's the combination of both. He's got unbelievable physical gifts. He also had otherworldly production in the last 2 years. I know it seemed a little bit up and down during this 2020 season, but if you followed it, you saw the games, you saw the spots where Ohio State had players missing with COVID, especially that Big Ten championship game that most people go back to. But when you look at a lot of the people going around now and bringing up film to defend Justin Fields, he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks we've seen in a while. He's got that ability to go out and help people, and I think he's that perfect bridge between what people might fall in love with Mac Jones and some of that operating the offense, quick decision-making, and with Trey Lance, which is no doubt long-term upside from a guy whose best days are still ahead of him, young and coming from the FCS level.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's been shocking, right? The last few weeks where Justin Fields was not in the conversation, and I remember last time we chatted, Junior, probably about this, we were talking about Richard Sherman and his opinion, and he was like, Justin Fields should have that consideration based on his efficiency, but then also that upside. So, I mean, Junior, I also last time we talked, I think you sort of did your – oh, no, no, no. This week we're going to get a new position group when it comes to the NFL, right, potential prospects, right? So I'm excited for that. But before we get there this week, I just want to know, in your head, where we're at right here. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields – is that where you think things are shaking out a week ahead of the draft?
That looks like the 1, 2, and 3. And to be clear, I think I would take Justin Fields before Zach Wilson if I was the Jets. But there comes a point, and I was talking with someone the other day about this, where, all right, we've been given a lot of really obvious signs. The Niners barely even picking up the phone to look in the direction of the Jets kind of indicates they had an idea that that pick was already made in the minds of a lot of people. So, yes, I see that being the 1, 2, and 3. And then from there, we know it's going to be interesting to see what Atlanta decides to do at that 4 spot with Trey Lance potentially still in the mix there. Where do him and Mac Jones slot in because they're so different? So that's where it gets interesting. But, yes, I think at 1, 2, and 3, we could very well and should see Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields in those spots.
What are we feeling? Are we feeling receivers this week? Like skill positions? What are we doing here?
I will let everyone know at the end of the show here because I'm thinking right now receivers, defensive backs. I want to save the beef for the last week leading into the draft. I want to give everyone the offensive and defensive lineman treatment they deserve in this area, Chiney. And that part of it's important, too, keeping track of all the names that we just mentioned here, trying to get a good read on all these groups because we want to see where they end up. And I think that's an important point. And I wish I could remember who I'm giving credit to on this, but I believe it was Dominique Foxworth on Get Up Today that pointed out that you're seeing the 49ers go out and work out Justin Fields, seeing them go to Mac Jones Pro Day, seeing them work out Trey Lance, because a lot of these teams, even if they're not going to draft a player, and I think with the 49ers, I think there's reason to believe that they could have been in that Deshaun Watson hunt before all the legal issues presented themselves and everyone sort of pulled back from that conversation. So they made this pick and adjusted, probably with someone in mind, but to do their due diligence, to see if maybe someone could sway them along the way. And above all else, to make sure, the way a lot of teams do, are we scouting players the right way? Even if we don't pick this player, we want to know, all right, what did we have on him, and did he hit somewhere else? And if he did, that lets us know, all right, our process is working the right way. We're evaluating players the way that we need to forecast what their future can look like, and that could be a lot of the reason why we've seen what we have from the 49ers brass and the way they've gone about
it. And I like it. They're doing their due diligence. So it's good.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, if you're a Niners fan, that's what you want, is to know that your team is going out here and actually doing the work. And to your point, the Bridgerton effect in all of this, having Kyle Shanahan talking to your quarterbacks, always good for business. And he is buddies with John Beck, so it certainly doesn't hurt in this spot. But coming up next, we'll talk about something that does hurt. A thigh contusion, and how much this injury alone or just the numbers behind the Nets superstar should mean right now. We'll get to that next. Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Golick Jr., the podcast.
Anything could happen any moment, so we don't want to take anything for granted.
Steve Nash walks over to Kevin Durant. The athletic trainer comes over to work on that area of KD's leg.
I was just thinking about this earlier today, and this is like the dumbest possible reading of this situation I can. Chinay Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Ogwumike. Kevin Durant gets kneed in the thigh, leaves with a quad contusion in their game against the Miami Heat. And the first thing that came to my mind was Kevin Durant's a 7 foot, like 7 foot tall-ish guy, but he's on the skinnier side. Do I have more quad than Kevin Durant?
Oh, for sure.
Do you think? Like, I mean, he's got like 7 feet worth of upper
no,
leg.
No, but it's like it's like not as, you know,
I
dense.
I know it's not as dense, but I just wasn't sure. Cliff, talk to me here.
Come on, bro. Really? It's Kevin Durant might be 7 foot, a buck 50. You really trying to ask if you got more mammy than him? Pause.
Look, you definitely, Junior, have more quad than Kevin Durant. Like, you think just because this is longer, like, it means more mass?
I mean, not that he means more mass, but there's just, like, it's just doing the dimensions of it. Like, I was just doing the math.
Let me tell you, that quad, if you get quad, what do we call it, dead-legged, right? Like, if you get kneed in the quad, you're going to be like, oh! And then you're going to be fine in about, if KD gets kneed, he's going to be like, oh!
Well, that is true. He's going to be hitting like the Family Guy.
That's the bone.
On the ground. Because he is closer to the bone. He is closer to the bone.
Yeah, that's the bone. Okay, yeah. Come on, man.
And I will say, though, the value of his quad per square inch, much
more important. Much more important.
Much more important. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So we do have Kevin Durant, who was pulled out of that game early. That quad contusion there. We know he was coming back off of that hamstring, off of the difficulty there. So, Chinay, looking at this spot, how worried are you right off the bat about just another injury popping up for KD?
I am not worried about this injury because, obviously, he's coming off of Achilles this season, which started off with the calf and then now Achilles. And this was just one of those Hooper's instances of getting dead legs when you get kneed in the quad. And it can, you know, sort of inflame and be uncomfortable. And you don't want him out there unless he's 100%, just especially in this comeback season. Not worried about that. The question mark that looms, Junior, when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets and most teams actually right now, the Lakers as well, is, man, at some point you're going to need your pieces out there. But we're at this unique inflection point in the NBA where this condensed, you know, schedule and season combined with these little knickknacks of injuries just are keeping the stars very hesitant from being out there. And these are the organizations that protect them and make them make these decisions. And so this is a smart decision. It just is like, I keep saying, I'm so excited for this NBA playoffs because we're literally going to see this Brooklyn Nets team play for the first time, you know, together in the playoffs because we're like down to low level, you know, under 20 games, 18, 17. And so for them to be out there, maybe 10 games, maybe five, it's going to be fascinating to see if this team can win a championship considering they barely played in the regular season.
Chinay Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's an insane thing to think about that we're essentially going to what's behind door number three, one of the best teams in the NBA when we get to the postseason, and just hope that it works out. And history is not kind to the situation the Nets are in right now, courtesy of ESPN Stats and Information. Kevin Durant has missed 33 games so far this season. Kyrie Irving has missed 16 games so far this season, and James Harden has now missed 10. No NBA champ has ever had its three leading scorers in terms of point per game all miss double-digit games on a season. We know this might be the most talented version of that, but we're at a point now where this is the zero barrier. This is Armageddon, where they're trying to find if they can blow up that asteroid before it gets too close to this. Although Alan Hahn, co-host of Bart and Hahn, that you can hear on ESPN Radio, says he's not worried one bit.
I'm not overly concerned. I think they're putting these guys in bubble wrap. I think the Nets are that team that knows how good they can be, and it's a matter of let's just be healthy in May when it matters most. I really do. I think they're overmanaging, and I would do the same thing. They're overmanaging the injuries to make sure that when it's winning time in May and June, that they have these guys at 100%, and that's when they're going to need them most. So I am my concern level for the Nets is like, you know, from 1 to 10 is like 1.
Chinay, I can understand where he's coming from. My concern starts to be, especially, we know this came up big when they were playing the 76ers. That was a battle for the 1 overall seed in the East. Now, as we go down the stretch of these important games, you could potentially, seating-wise, understandably, work yourself into a spot where you're dealing with a tough road through an Eastern Conference that is looking more and more daunting.
Yeah, and exactly what Alan said, you know, we're not necessarily concerned besides the fact that this is probably the most difficult road that we've seen ever since LeBron James left the East, with teams finding their stride, whether it is the 76ers and Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, the Brooklyn Nets have a lot of potential, but even like the Miami Heat are going to figure themselves out, the Boston Celtics. Hello. Ooh. Hello, Boston. So there are a lot of teams that it's not going to be necessarily this easy. And Junior, you brought up the stat about how no teams have won a championship with that many key players not being available over the course of a regular season. Also, the Brooklyn Nets are 25th in defensive rating. No team has won an NBA championship with defensive rating that low as well. So they've made their big bet on offense, but then also I don't think they first saw these many challenges in keeping their stars on the floor. But at the end of the day, they're so talented, maybe they can overcome it. But we've gone from the season in the bubble to now bubble wrap, and we'll see who wins the championship.
I say bubbles all around for everyone here, but you're right. If it feels like there's one team that could overcome this, it's the most colossal big three we've ever seen formed together. And so we're all kind of afraid to step out too far on a lot of this. I know some people are out there. Kendrick Perkins has been bullish on the 76ers for a while, but I'm just sitting here like, man, the Nets could make us all look pretty bad by the end of this if we're not careful. So we'll check in on that. Plus, but coming up next, I want to have a conversation about impact. We have this always difficult conversation with the MVP. It's a hard thing to define, but what if we take it over a longer time period and we put it to the game's two biggest stars, LeBron James and Steph Curry? Who's had more impact on the NBA game during their time in the league? We'll ask someone who's played in that same league, and we'll do it next after this word from Indeed. Now, regular job sites, they can take days to find the right candidate. With Indeed, it can take seconds, thanks to Indeed Instant Match. It searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database and is instantly going to find you up to 20 people whose resumes match your job criteria. If you want to narrow that list down even further, you can add an Indeed skills test to see a candidate's skills that go beyond just their resume. Maybe that's why Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit. LeBron, Steph, who's changed the game more on and off the court? Next on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app at Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we're delighted to head out there now to talk to Matt Barnes, former NBA veteran. You see him all the time around the Jump, giving you guys great basketball analysis. He's with us here now on the show. Matt, we appreciate the time, man. How you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, guys. And ladies.
Hey. Absolutely, Matt. I can say you've seen Jhené all over the Jump as well, so you guys getting to see a lot of each other. But, Matt, we haven't gotten to see a lot of the Nets' big three at this point. KD leaves this weekend against the Heat with the quad contusion. How concerned are you, maybe not even just about the injury, but about how little we've seen of this group together now this late in the season?
I talked to someone in KD's camp yesterday. They're not very concerned over this. It's probably a day-to-day situation, although sometimes quad contusions could be pretty serious. I guess this is a minor one. I'm not as worried as I would normally be because I think the level of superstar you have when you speak on Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and KD, I mean, they're just so talented. I think the only time, you know, when they get together, I think the only issue is, like, who's taking what shots, and I think they can kind of figure that out by now. But you would like to have seen this team play together more. It just hasn't worked out that way, and you hope they can pull it all together come playoff time.
Absolutely. Matt Barnes joining us, NBA champ with the Lakers in 2017, played 14 seasons in the NBA. My friend, you see all the time on the Jump. And also make sure you check out the podcast, one of the best podcasts ever, All the Smoke. It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Matt, you know, it's cool because this weekend, obviously, that was tough news when it comes to, like, stars and injuries. But we did get stars performing. Steph Curry drops 47 versus the Celtics. And you know what always happens when Steph is, like, on a tear? We have the question, all right, who has been more impactful to the game of basketball, Steph Curry or LeBron James? And I'm just curious on your opinion on that whole factor, because clearly Steph, a lot of people see, you know, the basketball and the shooting threes, but LeBron James, it tends to sort of spill over to the culture.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. But to be honest with you, although LeBron is going to go down as the greatest or top two or three greatest players of all time, I think Steph has had a bigger impact on basketball. And I say that because the complete dynamic of the game has changed now. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to coach my twin boys who are 12 at a young age. I mean, these kids, Janae, when I tell you, when they start warming up, they start shooting from almost out of bounds. I'm like, yo, what about coming to the basket, get some layups, getting your touch? And they're like, no, Dad, this is how we get warm. So they don't even come to the paint to get warm anymore. And it's just from watching, you know, guys like Steph and Clay. So I definitely think over the last 30, 40 years, I think Steph Curry has had the biggest impact from a standpoint is he's kind of completely changed the way the basketball game is played. You would never think to get transition threes when I first came in the NBA. Like, you run for layups, you run for dunks. Now people from the NBA down to the AAU, little kids are running to the three-point line in transition, and that is strictly because of Steph.
And that is very different, and I did say you won a championship with the Lakers, but I'm sitting in L.A., and I know you're driving through L.A., and I meant the Warriors, but that was a perfect segue to clearly the Warriors.
It was. And Matt, I do want to ask about Steph right now, though, because Chiney mentioned the tear that he's on at this moment. How do we contextualize this? Because we know this is still a Warriors team on the outside looking into the playoff scenario right now. They've struggled a lot this year, but this might be some of Steph's basketball ever. How should we talk about him, especially relative to something like the MVP race that so many people want to discuss?
I think you continue to talk to him, when you speak of greats. I think I said earlier this season we were going to get to see Steph's version of James Harden basketball this year. Obviously, they play different and get their points different, but when he's the number one, two, and three option on your team, you see what you get. You know, he's battling Bradley Beal right now for the league leader, for the scoring lead. Although his team's in 10th position, I'm still thinking he's first-team All-NBA. You know, the tear he's put on, it's crazy to say that someone who's the only unanimous MVP in the history of the game is playing some of his best basketball now. You know what I mean? Like, normally that was a historic season, but this guy is playing on another planet. It's fun to watch. I love his antics and the energy he brings to the game. So I think anyone who ever questioned how good is Steph, he's always had the Splash Brothers, he's always had Draymond, he's always had this, he's had KD. Now you're really getting to see how good Steph Curry is, and I've known it since, you know, this kid, you know, really started coming to his own.
Talking to Matt Barnes with us here on the Goodyear Hotline, NBA champion and co-host of the All the Smoke podcast. And you do know Steph Curry really well. You've seen this operation up close. And so I want to ask you, we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago after some comments were made. Is Steph Curry a Golden State lifer? Do you ever see him suiting up in a different uniform?
No, I don't ever see Steph leaving. You know, I think he's really found a home in a day and age where it's not uncommon now for superstars to move around. I think Steph is going to be one of those guys like Kobe, you know what I mean? That, you know, once he put that uniform on, he never put another uniform on. So I think Steph will definitely be a lifer, and, you know, it's going to be pressure on that organization throughout his career to always keep him competitive because you know how loyal and how great he is as a player. So you hope that they can always keep him competitive throughout his career.
I mean, Matt, when you pass Wilt Chamberlain for the long, you know, all-time score, I mean, you're probably going to stay there, right? That's a huge milestone.
Yeah, I mean, it's safe to, you know, buy a couple houses out there because I don't think he's going anywhere.
Facts. And if you need a house sitter, your girl is here. And that applies for you too, Matt, because obviously I follow your IG stories. If you need a babysitter, I can come through too. We're neighbors out here. Now, and speaking of homes, one of the best homes in the NBA is Madison Square Garden, Matt. And obviously Zion doesn't talk much. We don't hear much from Zion. We see his amazing performances, but he was raving about the opportunity to play in the Garden. Do you think that, you know, the Pelicans should be worried about him potentially saying, hey, the lights are brighter here?
I just got, you know, it was funny. We just spoke on this on the show, and I looked on my Twitter, and I'm getting beat up by all the Pelicans fans for saying this. But, Janae, it's not even so much about what he said. It's the way he said it, his energy, the way his eyes lit up, his excitement. He couldn't hold back the excitement. And, you know, if I'm a Pelicans fan or even back to the Hornets fans, I mean, they've seen this play before. You know, they had a franchise player in Chris Paul who left for brighter lights. They had a franchise player in Anthony Davis who recently just left for brighter lights. So this is one of the knocks on being in a small market is it's hard to keep your superstar. So they're going to have kind of a seven-year window to prove their point and sell him on the greatness of the city and the organization. But it's just so hard to compete with the New Yorks and Brooklyns and the LAs, and, you know, even Golden State's now have made themselves a competitor. So it's really in the markets to really keep your superstars. So, you know, I hope they're able to, but I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, you know, he jumped to the brighter lights.
We've seen he's got a good relationship, it seems like, with Stan Van Gundy, but we saw after their game this weekend, Coach Van Gundy critical of the team's sloppy play, Eric Bledsoe openly saying his lack of focus led to mistakes made that allowed the Knicks to get into overtime and win that game. How big a concern is that going to be for this franchise with their young star they're trying to keep around?
It's tough. You know, you always want to put your best foot forward. I think they have a good young core. You know, I played for Stan, you know, in my career, and although he's a great X and O's guy, to me, Stan is kind of an outdated type coach. So I wonder if he is the right coach for this team. Like I said, X and O's, he's great, but he's just really old school. And obviously I had him in 2009, so he could have possibly changed by now, but I think it's important to have the right fit. I think it's important to have a coach that can relate to younger players because it's really a player's game now. But that's not to say that his criticism isn't well placed, because they absolutely, you know, you don't need to have a coach tell you don't leave a corner three shooter, which Lonzo did, and, you know, they didn't foul right away. So not to say that I'm blaming any of this on Stan. I'm just looking at the bigger picture. You know, is he the right coach? We'll have to see. I'm glad he has a good relationship with Zion, but you know, there's mental lapses in a game, and sometimes it's just unexcusable, and obviously that they got hit by that last game.
We don't have much time left, Matt, but I just have to ask you, which WNBA team are you rooting for this year?
I'm a Sparks fan. I like the Sparks.
Yes!
you know, it's unfortunate. Yeah, you know, I like what you guys got. It's unfortunate, you know, that Candace isn't going to be able to finish a spark. You know, wish her the best, but, you know, a fan of the game. And what I love more about it is my kids have really become a fan of the WNBA, obviously with the coaching ties to Derek. So
yep.
Now that they're excited about it, you know, I get to catch a few games every year. So I'm excited about your guys' upcoming season, and wish you guys the best.
Y'all think Matt Barnes goes hard on the court? His kids go hard for us Sparks fans while we play.
They do. They love you guys.
I love it. The Barnes family Sparks super fans coming to a courtside
near
Barnes,
you. Check out the Barnes Bros. They have a podcast too, the Twins. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Our podcast. So, yeah, Barnes Bros podcast. You can check that out on Instagram, IGTV, and YouTube. But we definitely started their own podcast, and they're finding their little niche. So appreciate that plug.
Of course. They are stars, Junior. Like, watch. They are young stars.
You know
it's
what?
Crazy.
I was going to say, seeing the work their dad puts out, not all that surprised in here. So everyone make sure to check that out. Matt, we appreciate the time and the insight today.
Thanks,
I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Matt Barnes with his NBA champ again, the All the Smoke podcast, one of the best out there. Just content for days in that family. Good
I mean,
Lord.
Just Matt, and then now his kids, and his kids like literally will be podcasting, and they'll get an argument, and they'll start fighting on the podcast. It's amazing.
So, you know what? As someone who did radio with their dad for like 3 years, that checks out. That checks out as a part of that process here. But coming up next, let's stick with what we talked about there right there at the end. Because we all saw that glimmer in Zion Williamson's eye. That wasn't just the normal niceties about Madison Square Garden. How worried should Pelicans fans be? And is it already time for Knicks fans to start hanging banners? That's next here. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I mean, every once in a while, I'll get a tweet that just makes my head want to explode. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Ogwumike. We'll get back to more conversation on the overall impact of the game, LeBron James and Steph Curry in a little bit. But Chinay, I had someone tweet me while we were having this conversation about the Brooklyn Nets and their big three and how they might be good enough to overcome the amount of games their stars admit. And Jeffrey Brackett tweets in at Chinay at Mike Golic Jr. where he can get at us and said, I don't think they're the best big three ever. When I asked who is, he said Reed, Baylor, and West, Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, Garnett, Allen, and Pierce. He threw in there, and I said, stop. The Stephen A. voice. Stop. Do not put that big three anywhere near the overall town of this big three. Like, am I the crazy one here? Is he right all of a sudden?
You're not, Junior. Yeah, way to put him in
stop,
place.
Stop. That was how I felt right now. That got me fired up. That got me hot and bothered. We have something that might do the same for Knicks fans. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Call us.
Call us Knicks fans and let us know if after what we heard yesterday from Zion Williamson, which we're going to play you here in a second, is the Knicks season already an overwhelming banner-worthy success? Let's get to that and coming in hot.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you. Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Janae and Golic Jr.
So we had Zion make a trip to the Garden. The Pelicans play the Knicks, and after some late game blunders, it goes to overtime. The Knicks win their sixth straight game. But that's not the biggest dub in the building. Listen to Zion Williamson, the Pelican star, who Knicks fans were looking forward to on draft night many moons ago now. Listen to Zion when asked about how much he enjoys playing in Madison Square Garden.
I'm glad you asked that, actually. I mean, New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you.
Chanae, if you were talking to a dude and you heard him gushing over another woman the way Zion was gushing over the Knicks there.
Why are you making this personal?
Because that's what it felt like, Chanae. The way he glowed and opened up there feels like it should be concerning. Matt Barnes said it best. It wasn't what he said. It was how he said it.
Oh, yeah. The body language, but also, like, just as the quick aside. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, aside from New Orleans, of course. But New York. Yeah. New York, but, you know, aside from New Orleans. Like, you know exactly what that is. 888-729-3776. Knicks fans, you already got an all-star in Julius Randle. You already are in position to hopefully make it to the playoffs. And now you got Zion gushing. How do you really feel?
Let's go to Scott in San Antonio. Scott, you're on Janae and Golic Jr. Should the Knicks consider themselves winners already?
Well, I guess, yeah, because the bar is set so low. So, I mean, what they're doing now is, you know, beyond anyone's expectation. With Randle and the potential, you know, this franchise can't be bad, but for so long. The tide has to turn at some point. We know what Brooklyn has going on, but they I mean, come on. It's New York City. It's the Madison Square Garden. Eventually, they're going to have maybe a championship team, but not a terrible franchise.
You know what, Scott? I'm glad you brought up Brooklyn. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and coming in hot is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. Because the Brooklyn plan is exactly why, Janae, I already feel like this is successful. Brooklyn and it looks competent. There's effort there defensively. They're sixth in the East right now. You mentioned Julius Randle. Looked like a stud going toe-to-toe with Zion. Your goal was to build what Brooklyn had 2 years ago before it got Kyrie and KD. Like, that's the new model here if you're a struggling franchise. And I look at the boxes this weekend and just go, check, check. They're already there as far as getting to that point, the threshold without the superstars, which is about as high as you can get with this roster.
Look, we were talking about the Knicks and the issues with the owners and also their poor relationship with their former stars. And sort of like, man, will the problems ever just like be limited potentially to the court? Because at some point, you know, it's like, all right, the leadership, everything just sort of touches on each other. Now it seems like there's finally some competency. The same way, like you said, 2 years ago, that's exactly what Brooklyn showed. The foundation is being set. They play defense. They're developing players, RJ Barrett and Julius Randle into stars. So they're doing the right things. And this is a win for a season overall, Junior.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Knicks fans, are you already winners? But we also want to hear from you. Stephen LeBron, who has had the bigger impact on the NBA game? We heard from Matt Barnes, but I want to get Chanae's thoughts on this because especially in her and my basketball lifetime, we have seen two players that have come to the forefront of this game and affected it in different ways. Judging impact is a difficult thing to try and quantify. You got one who's affected the on-court game, but I think for the other, in LeBron James, you've got the thing we just talked about, the way you build teams now. Changed forever based on what he's done and his time in the NBA. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to that next here. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.